Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Monday episode. The league is going ahead as scheduled, despite everything going on in the sports world, coronavirus pandemic, the NBA season, NCAA tournament canceled, Major League Baseball opening day not looking good, and things sports-wise could get postponed into June or July, the way things are looking right now. But the NFL is in a unique situation because there is no games happening. It's the offseason, and things can happen via teleconference and FaceTime calls and phone calls between agents and teams, and it looks as if the NFL is going to conduct business as close to as normal as they can right now in March, and the league year will begin March 18th, and the CBA vote, the players have voted, it has been ratified, the new collective bargaining agreement is here. It's time to tag your own players, it's time to start tampering with other teams' players, and free agency is on. It's been a few days since I chatted with you guys, and so much has changed since then. The 49ers releasing a statement that's almost outdated, even though it was just a few days ago, and they've sent all their scouts home. A lot of pro days, college pro days being canceled, but some teams still holding some, you know, skeleton video-only pro days where they're videotaping stuff and sending it to teams. And I'm sure every college will eventually do their pro day that way and at least get some times to scouts and teams that weren't able to get those times at the combine or weren't invited to the combine. A lot of players strategically wanted to wait until later, until their pro days to run. And now that's looking like not the greatest decision because of what's happened since the combine. But I'm sure everybody will get timed. Everyone will at least have a video of their workout sent to teams. There will be some phone calls and, you know, FaceTime calls rather than face-to-face player team visits as we get close to the draft. The Las Vegas draft looks like it's, I mean, I don't think it can happen the way things are. Will the league go ahead on the same day, April 23rd, with a draft that's a little bit different? Everyone's staying at home. Or will they postpone the draft? We'll find out. Maybe we'll have a lot more mock drafts than I expected. Speaking of mock drafts, we're going to talk about a mock draft on today's show. It is Mock Draft Monday, and I did a little mock draft on Twitter over the weekend that we will talk about at the end of today's program. But we've got to get into some free agency stuff here first. League news. There's a lot about to happen right now, and this is about midnight my time, Pacific time, when I'm recording this Sunday night into Monday morning. I wanted to wait as long as possible before putting this podcast out to see if an Arik Armstead deal would be done. And as of now, it is not done. But according to Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports, the 49ers and Armstead have made some headway on contract negotiations. So who knows? Maybe by the time I wake up Monday morning, by the time you're listening to this, the 49ers will have either and... It's almost 100% certainty that the 49ers will have either signed Arik Armstead to a long-term contract or given him the franchise tag, that franchise tag deadline, noon Eastern. So 9 a.m. Pacific time, Monday is the tag deadline. And then immediately, it's 8:59 a.m. Pacific time is when the tag deadline is. Then a minute later, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, the legal tampering period begins and teams can officially start talking to players from other teams, and then everything can become official Wednesday, March 18th, when the new league year begins and free agency officially opens. But Arik Armstead, will he be tagged or will the 49ers get a long-term deal done with him before then? I still believe it'll be a tag. We'll see what happens Monday. But one thing that will not be happening Monday or Wednesday or ever, well, I don't want to say ever because who knows how long Tom Brady's going to play NFL football, but he's not going to play NFL football for the San Francisco 49ers in 2020. And he's not going to play NFL football for the Tennessee Titans in 2020. The Titans have signed Ryan Tannehill to a long-term contract. So the Titans, despite all their connections there with Mike Vrabel, his former teammate, not signing Brady. They're going long-term with Ryan Tannehill, a big contract there. Getting paid more than what Jimmy Garoppolo is getting paid by a nice little chunk. And the 49ers, it came out Chris Sims, who's good buddies with Kyle Shanahan. They were college teammates at the University of Texas. And I'm sure that's who his source is, but he said his sources tell him that the 49ers not going with Brady, they're sticking with Jimmy Garoppolo, that Brady was, or that the 49ers were Brady's first choice. Niners thought about it and said, you know what, we like Garoppolo better, we're going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo. And my response to that is, yeah, of course. I know, we already knew that. Like, if you listen to this podcast, that's exactly what was going to happen. And they tried to fuel the flames, and I think even with people who actually knew that it wasn't going to happen, it's good for business on the media side of things for that to remain a story. So it remained a story as long as it could. Tom Brady not coming to San Francisco. He's not going to play for his childhood team anytime soon. Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy for the 49ers. Now the question is, will the 49ers restructure Garoppolo's contract? They said they weren't going to restructure any more deals, but if the 49ers want to sign Eric Armstead long-term, and especially if they want to tag Eric Armstead, right now, they don't have enough room under the salary cap. Looking at the most generous numbers, they have maybe $15 million under the cap. It's more like $12 or $13 million, I think, and the salary cap's actually $2 million lower than a lot of estimates were, even despite the new CBA that's in place. It's about $198.2 million salary cap. So the 49ers, I don't know if they even have enough room right now, Sunday night, to tag Eric Armstead. So maybe there's another deal that will come along with an Armstead, either contract or franchise tag, like, say, DeForest Buckner, long-term deal could lower his number. And then that could mean that there's enough room to do something with Eric Armstead. So who knows? And or maybe there's some more restructures happening or some players getting cut. They can definitely add some space and cut some guys. So there's going to be a ton of activity Monday that we'll get into on Tuesday's show. There will be plenty to talk about, I'm sure. And a lot of it is probably happening as you're listening to this podcast if you're driving to work. And actually, you might not even be driving to work. So I don't even know. You're going to have to be just sitting at home with your morning coffee listening to this podcast maybe because, a lot of people staying at home. And good for you if you're able to stay home and not spread this thing. And the sooner we can squash this coronavirus, the sooner sports can come back and the sooner we can get back to some normalcy. And I know it's difficult, so hope everyone's feeling well out there and able to do their part and help each other out. And we'll get through this thing and things will hopefully be back to normal, and the more steps we can take to squash the coronavirus and hinder it from spreading will be better, flattening that curve, right? DeForest Buckner, by the way, speaking of a long-term deal with him, the 49ers might be looking at a little bit better negotiation point here because according to ESPN, DeForest Buckner's fifth-year option that if they don't find a long-term deal with him, he'll be playing under this year, went from $14.36 million to $12.38 million. So $2 million less for Buckner under that fifth-year option because he's actually a defensive tackle and he's not a defensive end, which is accurate. He's played a lot more defensive tackle than defensive end, so he should be playing under the defensive tackle number rather than the end number, which is $12 million rather than $14 million. So it might help the 49ers in some negotiations. I don't think it'll have a huge impact on the number he ends up getting in free agency because I know the 49ers will probably want to use him a little bit at end. And look, if Eric Armstead leaves or gets tagged and traded, I think DeForest Buckner can do a lot of what Eric Armstead did. And I think it's a little bit easier job on base downs where Buckner can be that big defensive end. You can put a couple of stout defensive tackles there inside, let them take on those double teams, have Buckner play outside a little bit, then kick back inside and rush the passer on those nickel downs that's still more common than the base stuff. So I think Buckner could see a little bit more of that. So he'll get paid a lot. I don't know what the number Buckner will finally sign under, but hopefully the 49ers are able to get that done, and maybe it'll be the buddies from the University of Oregon. Buckner and Armstead both doing long-term deals together where DeForest Buckner's gets done first, lowers the cap number for the 49ers, allows them to do something with Eric Armstead. We'll see. A lot should be decided Monday. It's going to be fun to find out what happens today, and then we'll break it all down Tuesday. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit more free agency. We'll talk mock draft because it's mock draft Monday. Man, it's pretty wild If I went back in time and told you Tom Brady's going to be a free agent after this season, if I went back to, say, September and said, look, Tom Brady's going to be a free agent after this season, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to lead the Niners to the Super Bowl, so you're fine there. It's not going to be that crazy to think that the 49ers would say, we're going to go with Garoppolo, our guy that we've invested all this time in, go to the Super Bowl. That might surprise you mildly, and say no to Tom Brady the following offseason. But if I told you and the Tennessee Titans would have a chance to sign Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, they're actually going to go with Ryan Tannehill and probably pay Ryan Tannehill more money than they would have had to pay Brady. Oh, and by the way, we're all going to be on lockdown, quarantine because of a virus that's threatening the world right now. You guys would think I'm a crazy lunatic if I said something like that just a few short months ago. But we're here. Teams are turning down the opportunity to sign Tom Brady. And who knows, maybe it's because Brady has a really firm deal with another team already. And we'll see. We'll find out a lot more this week as we head toward the new league year and free agency officially opening Monday. I don't think there's going to be much activity with the 49ers aside from figuring out what's going to happen with their own guys. Armstead, Emmanuel Sanders, Jimmy Ward. Those are the big decisions to be made. There are some other free agents the 49ers are going to have to figure out, and I think they'll be able to bring most of those players back. Ronnie Blair, you know, they're restricted free agents. I don't think there's going to be any massive deals. I don't think they're going to be going out on the first couple of days and signing a big-name player from another team either. It's all going to be about figuring out their own guys. If they do sign Arik Armstead, I mean, I don't know how they can fit Emmanuel Sanders and Jimmy Ward in. They could potentially bring back Sanders and Ward, I think, if they do tag and trade Arik Armstead. It seems to be the most obvious logical choice right now, but we'll see what happens. They might be able, if they do let Armstead go, they might be able to dip into the lower level of defensive linemen and try to find some. I think the best way to replace Arik Armstead, too, by the way, is with two separate people, because you can have a three tech, someone who can rush from the interior as a defensive tackle and nickel, and someone who's a big end that can help you on early downs as a defensive end. And that could be even DeForest Buckner taking over that role. You still have some big, powerful defensive linemen on the team that could all go outside. Ronald Blair, Solomon Thomas, obviously, would probably be the first thing that jumps out to you as a, you know, former first-round pick, have an opportunity to get some value from him. And probably the last year of his contract with the 49ers, I would not expect that the 49ers are going to pick up his fifth-year salary for 2021. It'll just be too high. But he could be that outside-in player if Arik Armstead was to be tagged and traded. But that's what we're going to learn a lot about the next few days, is what's going to happen with the 49ers' own guys, the players that might be, that might have a market in the early days of free agency with other teams, and then the 49ers can figure out everything else from there, and probably some cuts as well to make some room under the cap in the coming days for the 49ers. But I want to talk, and by the way, I'm kind of going to scrap. I was going position by position looking at free agents, and the more I did some homework on all of these positions, it was like, man, there's the 49ers aren't going to go anywhere in free agency, and if they do, it's going to be later. It's going to be in week two, three, and beyond in free agency, some bargain players. None of the early big-name, big-money free agents from the outside are going to come in for the 49ers. They're going to build this thing through the draft, and so that's another reason why they have to add some draft picks if they can trade away a player like Arik Armstead in a tag and trade, or move down from pick 31 to add more draft picks. They need to continue to build their depth that way to keep this thing going and have a long-term plan to be very good for a very long time. And it looks like they've already planted their flag at quarterback with Jimmy Garoppolo. For people who are on the fence there, speak volumes that the 49ers are not going after Tom Brady. They're sticking with Jimmy G. And Jimmy G still has to prove a little something, I think, because his contract is structured in a way where unless they restructure it, they could get out of it next year at this time if Jimmy Garoppolo, say, gets worse or doesn't get better. And I fully expect Jimmy Garoppolo to improve from where he was this year, his first full year as a starter, which is already very good. But let's talk mock draft here. Since the 49ers are probably not going to bring a bunch of players from the outside, I don't want to go position by position and say the same thing with every group and be like, yeah, you know what, probably draft. If they're going to do anything here at this position, probably be in the draft, because I just feel like it's going to be that way with just about every position group. There's just not a lot out there for the 49ers of early free agency pickups. But there could be some value. And after the dust settles this week, we'll find out and look at some players that are still out there and say, oh, yeah, so the Trey Bostons of the world, right, who was a free agent all through into the summer last year for really no good reason. And he might be that same guy again this year if Jimmy Ward walks. There might be some players like that. But let's talk mock draft here, because I did an interesting experiment on Twitter this weekend while everyone was quarantined. It was my 2020 quarantine 49ers mock draft, and I let my Twitter folks vote on it. So my input in this was I put four names of the best available using the Draft Network mock machine. I put four names out there, and for those of you who missed it, didn't follow along, that want to, I'm going to do it again next weekend. So this coming weekend, I'll do it again, and maybe I'll do it every weekend and do my own mock draft. Do it this way, but I'll make it longer. It was only 15 minutes per pick. I did it all Saturday afternoon. Maybe I'll do it longer so it lasts all weekend long and have an hour per pick and let more people see it, more people get involved, and more people vote on these picks, and we'll have a better idea about free agency and team needs as well next week at this time, I think, and especially going forward into April. No trades in this mock draft. And when it came to pick 31, the mock draft machine, the four best players I saw on the board for the 49ers were LSU cornerback Christian Fulton, Baylor wide receiver Denzel Mims, LSU free safety Grant Delpit, and Penn State edge rusher Yetur Gross-Matos. And Yetur only got about 4% of the votes here, which I was surprised about, because to me, I think he's someone who's less likely to be there when the 49ers are on the clock because of how shallow this defensive line and especially the edge class is this year in the draft. And if Arik Armstead walks, I think it would be a no-brainer selection to draft someone that has that sort of, and he's a little bit raw, so maybe a project, so he could be a part-time player in year one, but eventually sort of replace both Arik Armstead and Dee Ford with his chronic knee issues. So you have to look forward into to not only 2020, but the year after, 2021, at that edge position. So that would absolutely be my pick, and he got blown away in this vote here. Obviously, if Arik Armstead gets re-signed, maybe you rethink that first-round draft pick and wouldn't want to draft yet another first-round defensive lineman there. But that's a name to remember, and one of my favorites because of his super high ceiling as an edge rusher. He has all the length and athleticism and explosive ability coming off the edge that you would want, you know, the perfect prototype frame for a stud edge rusher. Yetur Gross-Matos has a really interesting story from his childhood, a sad story, his upbringing, and what he's had to go through to become a first-round caliber prospect in this year's draft. And the player that those of you who did vote on this thing decided to pick for the 49ers at pick 31 was the wide receiver, Denzel Mims from Baylor. And I'm starting to think that Mims isn't going to be there as well, because he might be the fourth wide receiver selected in this draft with how great his offseason has been, starting at the Senior Bowl, showing he can get off of press coverage, beating people in one-on-one drills, and then he had a ton of production in college and good tape to go along with it, obviously, which is the number one thing, and then just lighting it up at the combine, 4.38 at 6.3, great three cone, just blew away the workouts, great vertical. It was Julio Jones type workouts for Denzel Mims, and he's not that level of athlete and he's not that level of prospect, but man, I don't see how Denzel Mims gets out of the first round if he's there at 31 and the 49ers especially don't bring back Emmanuel Sanders. I'm definitely on board with the Denzel Mims pick, and I really like the players that were drafted here in this draft. So I think my Twitter followers did a pretty good job. Okay, let's take a quick break here, get into the rest of the draft picks in the quarantine 7-round 49ers Twitter mock draft. I want to do this first mock too with no trades, just so you could go through it. And when you go through this in real time and you see the gap between pick 31 in round one all the way to round five at pick 156. 120 picks going off the board, 125 picks going off the board. It's like, okay, this is just a completely different scenario because nobody, you just don't know who's going to be there. You have no idea. Now you have a bunch of day three picks and they're all sort of lumped into this same group. So it's going to be really interesting for the 49ers to build this draft board and say, man, we might pick here and then have no shot at all all these guys and then be picking from this tiny group of players at the end in our last five draft picks, because there's 2 fifths, a sixth, and 2 seventh round picks for the 49ers. So when the 49ers were on the clock using the mock draft machine from the Draft Network, and by the way, there are trades allowed in the mock draft machine if you are a premium member, so we will get into some trade scenarios next time I do one of these mocks, but no trades in this one. Niners on the clock at 156. The four best players to me on the board to choose from were Darrington Evans, running back from App State, ran 4.3s or 4.41 maybe at the combine, just blazed at the combine. Some similarities to, I think, Matt Breida, maybe, if you're looking for a small school guy with a lot of athleticism, not a ton of size, but really fits, I think, Kyle Shanahan's scheme with that wide zone and his ability to have long speed to make big runs and rip off big runs, and then have some vision and stick his foot in the ground and make those one cut runs and just get through the hole. Quintez Cephus, wide receiver from Wisconsin, had an awful combine, running 4.7s. Showed some explosiveness with his jumps, though. He's a big physical wide receiver. His game isn't speed. Ran 4.5s, though. I think 4.56 at Wisconsin's pro day before some of these pro days got shut down, which is a much better time for him, just to show that he can hang and the athleticism isn't so bad that he's not going to go get undrafted or anything like that. So that helped him out. I think he's a day three guy for sure. He was on the board in the next two picks in the fifth round for the Niners. You guys didn't want to vote for him, so passed on Quintez Cephus. I think Mohamed Sanu is the best comp I have for him. The way they play, physicality, some good size, good ball skills. The sum of their parts is much better than what you look at when you just look at their speed and go, ah, well, they're not that fast, but they're football players. DJ Wonnum, an edge rusher from South Carolina, and then Anfernee Jennings was the selection. An undersized tweener-ish outside linebacker / defensive end edge rusher from Alabama. Long-armed, even though he's kind of short, 6'2", 256 pounds. Brings a little bit of juice off the edge. He had 41% of the votes, and he was the selection in round five, the first pick in round five. That brings us to the second selection in round five, Denzel Mims, Anfernee Jennings, the defensive end / outside linebacker so far. Then, between Quintez Cephus, wide receiver from Wisconsin, a 6'7" Colby Parkinson, tight end from Stanford, Khalil Davis, defensive tackle from Nebraska, and Alex Taylor, offensive tackle from South Carolina State. Those were the four options with the second pick in round five at number 176. And I love this selection, the offensive tackle from South Carolina State, Alex Taylor, and he is massive. He's got that basketball player build. Insanely long arms, big hands, long legs. He's just so long, it's so hard for people to run around him. And he's a good pass protector because of that, but he's also raw, and I think he has a lot of ability to get better. So, you know, more of a long-term draft pick than someone who's going to walk in and just start day one in the NFL, which is why he's still around in the fifth round, despite being someone who's 6'8", 310 pounds, and ran a 5.09, I think, which is a pretty good time for someone that long at the combine. I think he has the longest arms at the entire combine with any position. And if you've never seen Alex Taylor play, what he looks like is, picture Trent Brown, how big Trent Brown is, but 50 pounds lighter. So just that length and that size, but much better mover, much more athletic, can get out and move a little bit, and, you know, not quite the strength and size of someone like Trent Brown. So could be a fit for the 49ers, and even though he's so big, he can get out and move a little bit, and showed that in his combine workouts and had a nice little week at the Senior Bowl too. So I don't know if he's actually going to fall all the way to the fifth round, but he is somebody that could be that sleeper project, sort of an offensive tackle that's outside of day two. Getting into round six, cornerback Reggie Robinson from Tulsa, safety Brian Cole from Mississippi State, Davion Taylor, linebacker from Colorado, and Lynn Bowden, a wide receiver / running back / kick returner from Kentucky, were the options. And Reggie Robinson won the vote. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. I think he might have gotten overtaken at the very last second with a couple of votes, but I closed it before that happened. So it's actually Reggie Robinson, the cornerback from Tulsa, was the selection when I closed the voting. It looks like I might have been just a second too soon because Brian Cole, the safety from Mississippi State, got some more votes at the very end. Might have edged him out by one vote. But Reggie Robinson, a great pick. You know, fits what the 49ers like to do. Ran well at the combine. The 49ers just don't draft defensive backs that don't run well. And so Reggie Robinson has that size that could play outside in the scheme. He could even at some point play some safety, I think, maybe in the NFL. He's about 6'1", 205 pounds, ran 4.4s. So he's got the athleticism, and he's a really nice player. And someone that you're talking about a round six player, I like Reggie Robinson the second from Tulsa quite a bit. Round seven, the first pick in round seven. The selections here were mostly defensive backs, a bunch of safeties. Legarius Sneed, free safety from Louisiana Tech, who ran 4.38 at the combine. Very Tarvarius Moore type frame, just super fast, skinny type of safety. Could play a little corner as well. Jalen Hawkins, strong safety from Cal that a lot of you locally in the Bay Area might have seen some in the college season. Tanner Muse, who blew up the combine, strong safety from Clemson, surprised people at 220 pounds as a strong safety that ran 4.5 flat, maybe got into the 4.4s. He had a crazy workout. He doesn't play to that speed, but really helped himself out. He's got linebacker size, but safety speed. And then Keith Ishmael from San Diego State, the center. And the votes went for the center. So maybe there was too many defensive backs that were splitting those votes, but Keith Ishmael, center, could play guard from San Diego State. Nice fit for the 49ers. And then the last pick in the draft, the second pick in round seven, 245 overall. Legarius Sneed out of Louisiana Tech was still on the board, and that was the selection. He won 36% of the votes. And again, Tarvarius Moore style of player, someone absolutely I could see the 49ers drafting late as a project player. And even if they don't know, is he going to play corner? Is he going to play safety? I don't know. Kind of like Tarvarius Moore, though, with that 4.3 speed. He's got length, 6.1, skinny player, not a thumper at all as a hitter as a safety, which is why a team might try him at corner first. But he has some ball skills. He has some range because he can flat out fly. And who knows, maybe he's not even there at this point in the draft because he ran so well at the combine and priced himself out, sort of like Tarvarius Moore did, who was supposed to be a day three sleeper. And John Lynch had talked about, well, after he ran at the combine, he's like, well, he's not going to be a sleeper anymore. We got to draft him now at the end of round three. And the players who were passed up by the Twitter voters with that last pick in round seven, Tipa Galea, an edge rusher from Utah State that I like a lot as a late round pick, and someone's sort of an undersized hybrid defensive end, outside linebacker, pass rusher type. Another guy who's similar to that, a little bit better size, Oluwole Batiku Jr., another edge rusher late that could be a project player. And you can tell I think the 49ers should draft some more pass rushers. You can't have enough pass rushers, so the 49ers should dip into that, whether it's early or late in this draft, I think. And another player I like a lot, who's a try-hard guy, non-stop motor, undersized defensive tackle that I think would be a nice fit to come in and compete for a job as an interior rusher for the 49ers, that is Garrett Marino, defensive tackle from UAB. He did not make the cut, though. Legarius Sneed was the pick, free safety from Louisiana Tech. So the draft went like this. Round one, Denzel Mims, wide receiver from Baylor. Round five, first pick, Anfernee Jennings, edge rusher from Alabama. The second pick in round five, Alex Taylor, offensive tackle from South Carolina State. Round six, Reggie Robinson, the second, cornerback from Tulsa. Round seven, the first selection, Keith Ishmael from San Diego State, interior offensive lineman. And the second pick in round seven, the final selection in this mock, Legarius Sneed, free safety slash corner from Louisiana Tech. Overall, I think the Twitter voters did a pretty darn good job. I think that's a solid draft haul for only having one pick in the first four rounds. And it's going to be fun to do this again once we find a little bit more out about where the 49ers are going in free agency, and we'll have a lot of that information, or at least a little bit more of that information, specifically on Arik Armstead. We'll know where he stands. He's either signed or tagged by the next time I talk to you guys tomorrow. And hit me up with those mailbag questions too. We'll continue doing those mailbag segments, hopefully every day, and especially with Nick on Wednesday. Find me on Twitter at BDPeacock to drop those questions. You can also email LockedOn49ers@gmail.com, and I'll talk to you tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.